We believe what is spoken of in God's Word as proclaimed in the book of Acts in the second chapter. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This we believe at Daleville Christian Church. The reading for this Sunday morning is from Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 28. Speaking about Jesus and his confrontation with some of the Pharisees, leaders of Jesus' people. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We began this year here at Daleville Christian Church with a series of messages entitled "Words That Divide and Words That Unite." Come to find out that what we believe separates us from other people. Even more interesting is that our God wants it that way. Our Lord Jesus said that no one can have two masters. We can't serve more than one God. When we declare Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, we are no longer able to be Muslim or Jew or Buddhist. And our God insists on exclusivity, so we can't be Hindu. Hindus are not exclusive worshipers. They worship many gods. Then we discovered that Jesus is interested in followers. God wants faithful volunteers, and that means we cannot be merely fans of Jesus. Jesus isn't interested in fans of Jesus. Jesus does not want a fan club. Jesus doesn't want a fan club unless the fan club would lead you to step out and follow Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, "Follow me." Jesus didn't say, "Join my fan club." So Jesus' words divide the fans of Jesus from the followers of Jesus. We discover that following the Jesus way of life, being a true follower of Jesus, isn't a seasonal thing. There's no off-season for the followers of Jesus. There may be an off-season for fans, but there's no off-season for followers of Jesus. At the same time, you can fall off the Jesus pathway of life. If you've been following Jesus very long in your life, you've discovered there are times when you fall off the Jesus pathway. Then the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you fall off the Jesus pathway of life? Well, you need to get back on the Jesus pathway of life. Today concludes this series, at least for now, and today we discover that there can be divisions created through the works of Jesus. There are divisions created because we follow the Jesus pathway of life. In today's reading of God's Word, Jesus winds up having a confrontation and disagreement with some Pharisees. But the confrontation was the result of a healing. They believed in the same God. They worshipped in the same temple. But Jesus was opposed in his work. We read there in verse 22, "Then they brought him," that is, they brought to Jesus, "a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see." So in one verse, Matthew almost passes by this miracle of healing in order to get the point to the point of the report. But as I'm fond of saying, let's not miss the obvious here. A man was healed, his eyesight and speech were restored to him. And we've talked about demons before. I know we're all scientific people here. I know that the word demon doesn't mean much to us, but it meant a lot to people in Jesus' day, and especially on that day, in that place, long ago. One of the problems people had in the ancient world with demons was that they seemed to show up randomly in people's lives, and they were difficult to get rid of. I remind you that for the ancients, and even in our Bibles, there are illnesses that require a doctor, and there are illnesses that are demon-based, and therefore require an exorcist or a magician. The Bible recognizes two categories of illness. Exorcists and magicians are mentioned in the Bible, particularly in the book of Acts. And I don't want to over-explain this, but in the ancient world there were two types of magic. Jews would never practice one of those forms, but they would practice the religious magic. And by religious magic, we mean using formulas with a God connection. The book of Acts mentions Jewish exorcists. Jesus' own words are to the Pharisees regarding exorcism done by the followers of the Pharisees. Now, we have no records in the Bible concerning these practitioners and the Pharisees. The book of Acts suggests that Jewish exorcists were allowed to practice their art without interference. Jesus, however, caught flack from some Pharisees for his healings. And this is the scene described for us in Matthew's gospel book. Matthew also explains what the real issue is. Having miraculously healed the demon-possessed man, Matthew tells us, verse 23, all the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" Son of David is a title for the Messiah. So it isn't that this is just a wonderful, miraculous healing by a Jewish rabbi. The question is, this man Jesus, the one of whom the Bible speaks, is he the one whose coming was foretold? Is he the one, the Christ, the Messiah? Because remember, it isn't just the healing that amazed people. It was Jesus' teaching that also amazed people. So Matthew tells us immediately following the healing Jesus did, verse 23, all the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, it immediately says right after that, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Now Jesus sees his opening for a teaching moment. Jesus always looked for a teaching moment. Jesus first mentions that the Pharisees' thinking does not make sense. Satan or Beelzebul would not drive out their own demons. Then Jesus delivers the kicker in verse 28. "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus raises the stakes on this healing. It isn't just either by the power of evil or the power of God. It's the Spirit of God in Jesus, the Spirit of God upon Jesus. And if you will remember your Gospel of Matthew, the Spirit of God had descended on Jesus at his baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, Matthew's book says, "Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son.'" We've talked about Peter's identification of Jesus. Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The disciples will call Jesus Son of God. Even the demons will declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's also not miss something else that's quite obvious in this report. Notice that no one disputes the healing. The Pharisees who objected to Jesus did not claim the man was not healed. Eyewitnesses who denied Jesus was the Messiah could not deny that the healing had happened. The healing did happen. The man was healed. The man who could not see or speak because Jesus made him now see and speak. Jesus made him see and speak. Therefore, the Pharisees could only claim that Jesus got his power from somewhere other than God. So this brings us back to the question we began asking at the beginning of this whole sermon series. Who do you say Jesus is? If Jesus is the Messiah, then our lives are changed. If Jesus is the Messiah, then our lives are changed just like this man's life was changed, who could now see and speak. If Jesus is the Messiah, you can have a new life like that man did. If Jesus is the Messiah, then the Lord God has come to you. If Jesus is the Messiah, then God's kingdom has come near to you. And the question is, are you in or are you out? The kingdom is here. Are you in or are you out? Is Jesus the Messiah or not? No one can have it both ways. No one can enter the narrow gate and the wide gate. You're either a follower of Jesus or not. Jesus doesn't ask for a fan club. Jesus doesn't say, "Join my fan club." Jesus says, "Follow me." And this isn't a Facebook following either. Jesus is talking about the Jesus way, the Jesus path. So, you and I are either followers of Jesus or we're not. You and I are either followers of Jesus or we're not. Many people that Jesus healed were believers and followers. Many people came to Jesus because they knew that Jesus could help them, and they knew that Jesus would help them. With regard to healings, there were exorcists and healers, but often in the ancient world they were specialists. Demons exorcised, but not healing sickness. And sometimes they were very specialized. You know, they could handle blindness, or they could handle hemorrhages, or they could handle spirit possession, demon possession. But in Jesus' case, whether it was a demon or physical illness, hemorrhages, leprosy, being born blind, even death, Jesus healed it all. That was one of the amazing things about him. Whatever walked up to him and wanted and asked for healing, it was healed. Now, we can't claim that everyone who was healed by Jesus became a follower of Jesus. We can't claim that. Sometimes we're just not told. Sometimes we're just not told the rest of the story. Did the person become a follower or not? We're not told. But it was possible then, it's still possible today, that people are healed by Jesus but do not become followers of Jesus. And even if you do not follow Jesus, if Jesus healed you, you remain healed. But if you do not become a follower of Jesus, you're on the path of destruction. That's exactly what Jesus said. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Followers of Jesus follow Jesus. Fans of Jesus may or may not follow Jesus. Jesus wanted followers. That's what Jesus said. Follow me. Some of you own cats. Deb and I have a cat. He's a rescue. But he's like a lot of other cats. He seems to indicate he wants to go out, and when you open the door, he just stands there. Not always. Sometimes I will give him about 2 seconds to go out, and then I help him out the door. You and I can be like my cat for a few seconds with regard to Jesus. The door is open. Are you going? Are you going with Jesus? Jesus says someday the door will be closed and you won't be able to go through it. One more thing. Jesus points to the Heavenly Father. Jesus says, but if it's by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus demonstrates that the other option the Pharisees mention, that Jesus is somehow lined up with Satan, that option doesn't make sense. But if Jesus has God's Spirit, then you and I have some decisions to make. You can even be healed, but that means the kingdom is here. So enter. There's another lesson in this report here in Matthew's Gospel. It also means that you can do the right thing, the loving thing, the godly thing, and yet there are people who will question your motives. You can do the right thing, the godly thing, the good thing, the healing thing, and people will question your motives. For so they question the power of Jesus and why he was doing what he did. But what did Jesus do? Jesus healed them anyway. What should you do? You should do it anyway. If it's the right thing, the loving thing, the godly thing, do it anyway. People will question your motives, but do it anyway. Now you can find faith testimonies online, and I pulled one off line. Matthew Neum was his name. Nobody special that I know of, except that he's Matthew Neum, and he belongs to Jesus. Like many young people, he had a lot of doubts and questions, but could not find the meaning to his life. He even tried to kill himself, but he was prevented. And he goes on to say, when I went to this Christian camp, a man was preaching about how God saved his life. I felt the presence of God and a strong pressure come upon my chest that made me feel if I had to go forward for prayer. And the feeling became stronger and stronger until the preacher asked for those who needed prayer to come to the front. And I went straight up and found myself crying and crying. Crying the most I'd ever cried in my whole life. Something amazing was happening. My eyelashes were blinking incredibly fast, and when I closed my eyes, it looked as if I was seeing a bright light. Whenever I closed my eyes, I could see the shining light. When the preacher came and prayed for me, he made a funny whoosh sound and some power went through my body. Something felt a little like an electric shock. It was powerful and yet it was warm, like a wave. When the preacher prayed for me, I felt some power go through me. It was powerful, but it was also gentle. It was the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what had really happened. I just kept crying. That was the first time that I literally experienced God's power, and my life was totally changed. Being touched by God's power opened my eyes. I saw the light, and from the day God's power went through me, something was different. My priorities in life had changed. Friends, follow Jesus and you are on your way to life. It's a new life. What others may think about your motivation doesn't matter. Jesus matters. Amen.